welcome to a playful Sunday morning adult discussion group. If I put any more adjectives in, we'll just greet everyone and then say, well, it's time to close. Anyway, today we are back in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and we are either in 2 or starting 3. It just depends on what the consensus is about what we want to read, and if we feel like we're done gleaning little silver and gold nuggets out of what we read last week. So let's go, let's start with a word of prayer. Debbie, would you pray?
Yeah. Lord, we just thank you for your presence here today. We're gathered in your name to read your word, Father, and just make our hearts fertile that it can grow there. Father, we thank you for our Christian body. We love each other, Lord, and we thank you for drawing us together and drawing us to you. Amen.
Amen. There's never a day that we come here and do this that I don't feel that I've heard from God when I leave this room. And it is amazing to me that I see Jesus in every one of you. And that's where I get my strength. So, you said we read chapter 2 up to verse 9, and then we also then went ahead and read 16 to 30.
10 through 16.
That was the end of the chapter? Read through the end. Okay. So, go ahead.
I was going to ask if we could start on 10 just because of what it says.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Do you care if I just read it out, just the 10th verse out loud with the King James? Mm-hmm.
Sure.
It says, "But God hath revealed unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God."
Say that again. Yeah. Read it one more time.
"But God had revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God." Mm-hmm. And
I want to do 9 above.
Yeah, I was going to say, let's do 9 too.
What he's revealed.
Yeah.
"Oh, but it, as it is written, I hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him."
"But
God hath revealed unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." So first of all, in the 9th verse, it tells us what we don't know. Okay? And the 10th verse tells us how we will know. By the revealing by his Spirit.
Yeah.
And to me, I was telling Debbie, the 9th verse is exactly what I needed to remember yesterday when a guy, you need help.
I'll do it. It takes me a little time.
Okay.
Okay, good girl.
But what a guy and me were talking about. And it says, "But as it is written, I hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for him that love him." Yes. I mean, a lot of people would stand up and say, I know. I don't know. I agree with Oscar. We need to tell God the things we don't know and be honest about it. Why? Because then we can read the 10th verse and know that word is true. Well, the 9th's true too, but the 10th word is the impelling word, the moving, the unction.
Wait. I'm sorry.
You're all right.
Where are we at?
Second, we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10.
Corinthians 1?
Uh-huh. 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, verse 9 and 10.
Okay.
Oh, where are we?
1 Corinthians, 2nd chapter, 9th verse.
Maybe I ought to put my glasses on.
It helps. Is that in there? I know, I couldn't. What is this? I can't see nothing about that.
While we're waiting, I was just going to say something. You know, a lot of times the main reason that there's so many different teachings out there concerning so many different things concerning the Lord is explained right here in these two verses. Because eyes not seen nor ears heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. But by his Spirit, he reveals them.
Yeah.
And a lot of people try to take the letter of the word and go with just the letter of the word. Mm-hmm. And the scripture says that the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we have to realize that that's why you get so many different opinions. I'm gonna call it opinions because it is opinions of what the Word of God is all about. But until God reveals it to you, you're going to miss it. You know, you're going to get in a man's opinion, and man's opinion is not going to be right. You know. So anyway, I just thought I'd bring that out because sometimes people wonder, well, how come so many different denominations and so many different teachings and so many different this? Well, that's why, because God hasn't revealed to some of them by the Spirit what actually his word declares, you know.
Clyde, were you done?
Can I comment on what you just said?
Sure.
And I don't think they will until they want to humble themselves and ask God for direction so they'll have ears to hear what the Spirit has to say. I mean, come on. I think we've all done this. I don't even like people talking like that. But I think we have all come to the place to where we've heard people's opinions, or we've heard their conclusions of it.
Mm-hmm.
And like, who was it? Mike, down at the radio station. How's that working for you?
Tom?
Yeah, Tom. Tom would always say, well, how's that working for you? And I mean, that's really, because if it's working for you, I believe we ought to be able to see it. You know, what's the conclusion? Have we come to the conclusion yet? I mean, if we wait upon the Lord to lead us, I think we've come to a large conclusion there. That means that we won't do this or we won't do that without knowing exactly the way he wants us to do it. I mean, that's what Jesus said. I mean, that's his teachings. Actually, that's his life. He was, you know, it says that, you know, when he left, it said that he sent the Spirit which will lead you into all truth.
Yes.
Now, I agree with Oscar on that. All, I mean, we should be more interested in the all truth. I mean, we've had part truth.
Yeah.
And part truth hadn't gotten us there. And it hasn't gotten our brother and sister there.
And why has it not, our own thinking, because it has never been seen or heard, or could it even enter into our minds, our carnal minds?
Right.
That's why. I mean, it's not even something to judge someone over.
Right.
Until God reveals it, you know. But the wonderful thing about God is that he is in control, and he does have a, and every knee will bow, not in submission angrily, but because they finally do see.
You know what? You said submission. I want to say every knee knee will not bow in condemnation either.
Right.
I mean, come on. When you seen people, when you first fell in love with the Lord, you fell in love with people. I mean, really with people, because you loved the spirit that was coming out of them. Why? Because that was the spirit you identified with. You identified the Lord Jesus Christ in that spirit. And you know what? We're going to get better. We are. We're going to get a lot better. Go ahead.
This it says exactly what you were saying pretty good. This is a footnote. Those who believe in Christ's death and resurrection and put their faith in him will know all they need to know to be saved. This knowledge, however, can't be grasped by even the wisest people unless they accept God's message. All who reject God's message are foolish, no matter how wise the world thinks they are. You can be a great scholar and still not know.
So, I have a question, and let's just, I'd like to get your thoughts on it. Not for a long, long time. But those people who have not seen or heard, and even in this book it goes on to talk about their people's puffed upness and how they, you know, think they have the answers. Even if you go through 3 and 4, it goes even into that, you know, this faction and that faction, and you're wrong and I'm right, and that different ways of living your life. How do we not look at those people when they really get off as evil and, quote, going, I don't even want to say the words, being thrown into the lake of fire for all eternity? I believe that there is an after, you know, that you're going to come one way or another, either in this life or in the next life, and there will be correction. But how do we avoid judging the people who do things that we find so offensive that we don't know how to not judge them? You know what I mean? Anybody? It's hard. It's not easy.
Well, I think you have to approach even the revelation that God gives to people is that there's different levels of people. You know, there's different levels of revelation. In all scriptures, there's at least 3 levels of understanding in each and every scripture. I don't care what it is. There's the natural level, and a lot of Christianity is just on the natural level. They read it, they just take it for supposedly what they think it says. Then there's the soulish level, and then there's the spiritual level. And you know, just like there's 3 courts in the Old Testament, you know, the outer court, the inner court, and the Holy of Holies. And there's at least 3 levels of understanding in all Scripture. And you can't really fault someone who is on a lower level than what you are. If anything, you should rejoice in the level that they're on with them, and so that you can help bring them up to another level.
Because
I've heard people say, I was at a supposedly a deeper word thing one time, and I heard this one guy say he was going to go down to Louisville and he was going to speak down there, and he said, and the stuff that I'm going to share, I know I'll never get invited back. And I said to him, you know, and I didn't know him very well, but I spoke up and I said to him, I said, brother, why would you want to do that? I said, why would you want to give somebody something so beyond what they can understand at that point? I said, wouldn't it be better to just give them a little less and then get invited back and give them a little bit more the next time and a little bit more and a little bit more? Line upon line, precept upon precept, rather than hit somebody over the head with something that they already know way in the world they're going to receive it.
Mm-hmm.
you know, and that's where, you know, sometimes Christianity and people who are on different levels in Christianity, they have an arrogant pride about what they think they know. You know, they're actually arrogant in their pride. Mm-hmm. You know, we had someone here one time was preaching years ago, and he, this particular fellow preached, and he was kind of down in the Baptist people. You know, hey, I rejoice in the Baptist people. They're out there, they're loving God.
Yes, they are.
They're out there getting people saved, getting people to commit their life to the Lord. That doesn't mean I feel like they've got the answer to everything, because they don't. Mm-hmm. They're called to do what they're doing right now, and that's okay. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. That's wonderful. But see, this guy was actually down in that situation. And when he got done, he come up and was talking to me, and he says, "Maybe I shouldn't have said what I said." I said, "Maybe you shouldn't have." I mean, it's exactly what I said to him. I said, "Maybe you shouldn't have," because he was being arrogant and he was being overbearing. And I told him, I said, "Brother," I told him about our situation with the Baptist Church, and when we did those plays and stuff. And I said, "We actually had a couple of the Baptist people tell us after they'd got to know us, and they realized we weren't trying to convert them into anything or anything else. We were just loving them and fellowshipping with them on whatever level the Lord had us do it on, you know, for that play." And they actually had said, We thought you guys would be trying to convert us, you know, well,
instead of just fellowship,
rather than fellowshipping with them, and you know, we kept a good rapport with those people for years, and we did a play with them for how many years? For about 3 years in a row or something like that. And they're precious people, you know. And just because you know something that they don't particularly know or understand at this point, that doesn't make you any better than them. It doesn't make you anything more than what they are, other than the fact that God has chosen to reveal to you a little more truth than, or deeper truth than what maybe they're functioning in. But I mean, that's like, the way I look at it is in the natural. I don't go to a kindergartner, and when a kindergartner is in kindergarten and he's learning his ABCs and learning numbers and all that, nowadays they probably learn a lot more than that. That's what you used to learn when I was a kid. But I don't go to a kindergartner and I say to him, "Well, you know math?" And he tells me, "Yeah, I know math." And I say, "Well, what do you know?" 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I said, "Well, you're right, that's math. You're doing good. I'm going to encourage him. I'm not going to say, 'Well, you stupid thing. That's not math. That's only the beginning of math. There's things way beyond that. You know, there's multiplication and division, and there's all these other forms of math.'" But see, that's where I think that sometimes some of the kingdom people get arrogant in their teaching, and they ask like people who know less than them are less than them. They're not less than them. They're just, their understanding at that point is less than them. And if anything, you should encourage wherever they're at and try to bring them up, not try to hammer them down, you know. And that bothers me sometimes when I hear that. And I mean, I tell you, I don't have any problem when I'm with someone like that and they come off like that. I don't have any problem setting them a little bit straight, because they need to be set straight, you know. Because to be honest with you, this particular person was Pentecostal, and that particular preacher was Pentecostal, and the Pentecostal people had done the Baptist people a big misservice, because they acted like, you know, they don't, because they didn't speak in tongues and so on and so forth, that they just didn't have it. Well, they do have it. They have exactly what God has for them at that point, and they're right where they're supposed to be at that point, you know. And people need to quit lording over other people with whatever God has shown them, you know.
When we look at people
Well, the scripture says that love covers.
It covers, you're
and
right.
And that God through us should be covering them wherever they are, or even whatever they are believing.
Right.
But as we love them and are open, then they'll be open to you and will be acceptable
right.
to what you would want to share with them.
Right.
And it's not a judging and not a, mm-hmm. because love covers it.
You know,
does.
Brother Eddie said years ago, he said, sons of God are they that can ascend, go up, and condescend,
right.
go
That's
down
right.
to
right.
men of all states.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Jesus did not rebuke the people that weren't religious. The only people he ever rebuked was the religious folks, the most religious folks. Why? Because they thought they had all the answers. Well, I got news for you. There ain't none of us got all the answers at this point, other than he's the answer. And that's the only real answer anyway. You know, and, you know, but sometimes, like you were saying, Kathy, I think what we need to do is we need to love people wherever they're at, fellowship with them as much as we can on that level, but also try to bring them up to a slightly higher level if you can. You know, don't compromise where you're at, but you don't have to tell everything. A wise person never tells everything that they know. They don't. A teacher doesn't tell you everything that they know.
They tell you
what you can receive at that minute.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they tell you. If they're a good teacher,
mm-hmm.
they tell you what you can receive at that minute. Then a little later, they'll tell you what you can receive at the next minute. You know, and they gradually take you up. And that's what we need to do. We need to be as wise as serpent, but as harmless as doves when it comes to dealing with folks.
Can I say something about the Baptists? The Baptists are sound foundation.
Yeah, they do.
And you've been talking to us a lot lately
about
doing away with the foundation. You can't do away with the foundation.
Right. That's right, you can't.
That's why I'm impressed by them all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Because their foundation is the Lord Jesus Christ.
And Him crucified.
And Him crucified.
That's right.
That's right. And
that's
I'm impressed with that because, I mean, they're for lost souls.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you know.
Well, that's the thing is that almost all religious things basically out there are founded upon some portion of the truth,
right.
you know. And, you know, but like I say, I get kind of perturbed sometimes, like I say, when I hear the deeper people sometimes, especially when I feel like I'm hearing a lot of ego in it,
mm-hmm.
you know, a lot of, well, bless God, I know this and you don't know it and I could really teach you something and all that. Mm-hmm. Oh, boy, that to me, that stinks to high heaven when I hear it.
I might be misquoting this, but, you know, I think in the scripture that they probably don't know or don't want to know is the fact that we can't get there until they get there.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the finished product, the
right.
goal,
right.
you know, the crossing the line,
right.
the reward. I mean, without them, none of us can enter into perfection.
Yeah. And without us.
Well, I know, but I mean, I'm just saying that,
mm-hmm.
you know,
so
we need to take note of that.
The first will be last.
And the last.
And the last will be first.
Yeah.
Praise God.
And the Lord dealt with me years ago about, you know, that he had called me to help the body of Christ grow up. And when he was dealing with me about that, he gave me those scriptures about when they came up to the promised land, okay? And they were camped in a place that was called Shittim, which is a thorny place. And I'm going to tell you what, we're all kind of in a thorny place right now where we don't know all the answers. And sometimes it gets pretty... you feel like you're getting stuck, you know. But what happened when they came there? When they came there, the priest took the Ark of the Covenant on their shoulders,
yeah.
the covenant of God,
mm-hmm.
and they did what? They stepped down into the brink of the water.
Right.
They walked out into the water and stood there.
Till all passed.
Till all passed over.
Yeah.
Now, if you want to help the body of Christ grow up, you got to be willing to watch people go past you.
Yeah, that's right.
And you got to not have an attitude of, well, bless God, who they think they are, they're going past me, you know. You want them to go past
yes.
you, because until they go over into the promised land, we're all going to go together, you know,
right.
because what happened is as they all crossed over, guess what the priest did? They walked up out of the brink of the water.
Right.
to the promised land, you know. But, you know, there's just so many truths there that if we just learn that we're called to love people and to show them the love of God, and when we show them the love of God, that's the answer there. It's not in I know more than you or you know more than me or whatever. I mean, you know, it's showing people the love of God, and when we show them that love of God, that's what will change, and it'll cover a multitude of sins.
Mm-hmm.
What was or what is the promised land?
What is the promised land? Well,
why didn't they? There was a line, this is the promised land, this is not.
Yeah.
So, why did they all want to go to the promised land?
That's a good question.
Why did they all want to go to the promised land back then? Why did they all want to go to the promised land? Because it was to be a land flowing with milk and honey, and it was to be a place to where the presence of God was going to be there in abundance and stuff. The presence of God was with them all the time from the beginning, and it was going to be there with them all the way to the end. But when they was going over into the promised land, he had promised to Abraham to get up and get out to a land that he'd show him, you know. That's who
yeah.
the original promise went to. But what was the exceeding great reward of going into the promised land?
His presence.
He said, I am thy exceeding great reward.
Yes.
God, that's
yes.
the real promised land. When we grow up into the fullness of him, when you know, a lot of people are waiting to go to heaven, and I'm not knocking anybody wanting to go to heaven, you know. But Jesus was standing right there in their midst, and he said, and Brother Eddie quoted this, I don't know, he used to quote this all the time. I mean, he used to say where Jesus said, I, the Son of Man, which am in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
He was standing right there in front of them. What did he mean by that? He meant that he was in the heavenly realm because he had the fullness of God inside of him, and he knew that. So wherever he was in heaven.
Yes.
He was in the heavenly presence of God because he was God, the fullness of God. Now we experience those things at times when we have a euphoric experience with God, to where, you know, all of a sudden, wow, you know, this is good, you know. And we've all had those experiences, I believe. You know, I know I've had them. And you know, that's a wonderful thing. But I tell you what, being in his presence and in the fullness of his presence, that you're in heaven when you have that.
Amen.
It's not as much a place as it is a state of being. I'll put it to you like that.
A realm.
Man wants to go to heaven, but heaven comes down to man.
That's right.
If I had gone there, I'd have come back and told you, because I was one step from the promised land.
Uh-huh.
Or wherever.
Yeah. Well, you're saying that you almost died, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, I mean that's all right, but really, as far as heaven is concerned, heaven is inside of you. You know, we know that heaven is called the kingdom of God, don't we? And what did Jesus say? He said the kingdom of God is where? Within you. It's
in what?
It's within you. So if his kingdom is within you, and what makes it be his kingdom in you? Him sitting on the throne of your life. His presence, his spirit sitting on the throne of your life. And if that's happening, then I got news for you. You're in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
In that sense that you're the throne of God is inside of you. He's sitting inside of you. I mean, that sounds a little deep, and it is a little bit deep. to understand sometimes, but this thing is a lot simpler than what they make it out to be out there in the world. It's a lot simpler. It's very simple, really.
Well, I was always mad at God, mm-hmm. because I didn't speak in tongues.
Mm-hmm.
My son did. I said, what makes him better than me?
No.
Well, he's not better than you. And speaking in tongues is only one gift of the Holy Spirit.
I don't have it.
It's only one gift of it, though. There's a bunch of other gifts. Now, the speaking in tongues was given for a sign that he said with men of other countries, of other languages, will I speak to you, this generation, and stuff like that. And it was given as a sign. And it's a sign that the Holy Spirit is inside of you. But the thing about speaking in tongues, Paul said that he would rather that you prophesy.
Right.
So if God gives you the gift of prophecy where you can prophesy to people, he'd rather that you prophesy, you know. And Paul said, I'd rather speak a couple words in a language, basically, and I'm paraphrasing this, that people understand, mm-hmm. than 10,000 words in a unknown tongue. Now, the unknown tongue part is the spirit inside of you praying, making intercession for you. It doesn't mean that you're any farther along than anybody else. It's a sign. It was given as a sign. I don't think people should hammer people about not speaking in tongues. If you don't speak in tongues, that's all right. If God doesn't release you into that, that's okay. That doesn't mean that His presence isn't in your life, and it doesn't mean that some of the other gifts of the Spirit aren't functioning in you. They could be, you know.
Wow.
And if somebody's heaping condemnation on you because you're not speaking in tongues, shamey on them. Because they shouldn't be doing that.
Yeah, one of these days you might be a teacher.
Yeah.
Pardon?
So one of these days you might be a teacher teaching other people about Christ. That's one of the gifts.
Yeah.
Well,
I believe as you seek Him, not to speak in tongues.
Right.
But as you spend more time with Him and seek Him, He enlarges Himself within you. Mm-hmm. And there comes a time that you would, but it's not that, because I had an aunt that was like that. God had done, she used to come with us down to Elm, but she's passed away now. And she used to go to fortune tellers and sorcery. She needed deliverance.
Mm-hmm.
And God saved her, delivered her. And then she was seeking. She was telling Betty, because we pray together and all, right? That mm-hmm. she didn't speak in tongues. She wanted to speak in tongues. And Betty admonished her to want God, to mm-hmm. want Him, to love Him, to want. And out of that, she did. She quit seeking, you know, to speak. Yeah. And then she was praying one time, she was saying it, just worshiping the Lord. And
that's the way, that's the key there. Yeah.
Worshiping, and she began to fall in tongues. And she was a World Harvest Church in Columbus.
Mm-hmm.
She went there, and God really used her, and they had a prayer, you know, a room and a place. Mm-hmm. She prayed with people and that. And then she really was intercessory. God used her in that.
Mm-hmm.
And the day that she passed, there was a young boy crying, walking around her bed and crying. And he said, if it wasn't for this woman, I would not still be married. I would not. He just told how she ministered to him and his wife. They were on the verge of a divorce. They both knew the Lord, but they just And he just cried over my, he's almost gonna cry, just cried over my aunt Hal, and she became real close with Tobias too. She ministered to him. And see, it's not feeling that any less or that you need to, but it's out of your relationship and your love and your worshiping and spending time with him. And as you just begin to praise him, it just, he has his time to do it in you and how he wants to do it in you, really.
Well, or if he wants to do it in you.
I can tell you with me, you know, that when I first got saved, I had some pretty good encounters with the Lord, and I mean, his presence came into my life very strongly. And, you know, I kept saying to the Lord, as far as speaking in tongues, you know, I kept saying, go ahead, Lord, you know, that kind of stuff. it didn't happen.
Do it.
I was driving down the expressway praising the Lord one day, and then all of a sudden some little words came out of my mouth that I didn't know what they were. I was just praising the Lord, see? It's like what she's saying. And it began to bubble up inside of me. And then from there on out, I mean, basically I could pretty much speak in tongues anytime I wanted to, you know what I mean? But it's one of those situations that it comes more from the praising God and entering into that presence and letting his spirit just, and letting go of your mind up here. See, you got to quit, you know, wrestling mentally with it, you know, and it's not going to happen with you wrestling with it mentally. It won't happen, you know. But if you just pray, you just let God go and just say, Lord, if you want me to speak in tongues, that's fine. And you just praising the Lord and just let it go. And when it's supposed to happen, it'll happen. You'll just start flowing into it.
And
you might
happens.
Say a couple goofy words. They used to get people up on church in different places, and they'd say, bah, 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 and all these kind of stuff, trying to get them to speak. And I think that's, I don't like that. I
mean, you can tell.
Yeah.
You can tell.
Yeah. Well, let me say something else too about speaking in tongues. Scripture says that if you speak in tongues in church or around other people, whoever is standing around that has the Holy Spirit in their life should begin to pray that God give the interpretation of what you just said. And that's what should happen. And God will give the interpretation if you seek the interpretation of it. He said that way your understanding is enlightened. You know, because if you pray in tongues, a lot of times what ends up happening is that the spirit inside of you is making intercession for you most of the time, or for a situation. And you don't, maybe you're praying about something and you're praying a certain way. Mm-hmm. And when you start speaking in tongues, the Lord might be having you go in an entirely different direction and have you praying in an entirely different direction from where you would pray with your natural mind. But even when he has you speak in tongues, you should ask the Lord to give you the interpretation of what was just said. And because it edifies, then it builds up.
And that's what my son said. I said, well, he won't give it to me.
Yeah.
Jim said, well, shut up.
Well, the
well, he meant, I said, God doesn't seem to care about me.
No.
And he said, Mom, just because you don't understand, that doesn't mean God don't love you.
Yeah. Well, the thing about this is don't let yourself feel condemned because you're not speaking in tongues. When it's supposed to happen to you, it will happen. Yeah. Just don't worry about that. And the more you struggle with something like that, the worse it gets a lot of times.
Well, I thought you weren't a Christian.
No, that's
not
true.
You could, this was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Now I give up. But is it you? You'll know. He wants you to do this or do that.
Well, it'll get past, it has to get past your natural mind. It has to get past your thinking. You ain't gonna sit there and just think, well, bless God, I'm gonna speak in tongues right now. You know, I mean,
yeah. It
kinda, that isn't the way it works. It just kind of flows out of you. You know, and when
that's
it's supposed to happen, it will happen.
Yeah, he said that's what happened to him. It is.
I bet he wasn't seeking, Lord, I want to speak in tongues, Lord, let me speak out. I bet he wasn't. He was probably just praying, praising the Lord, and it, in his time of worship, the Spirit of God began to flow forth and speak.
Sometimes just go into your back bedroom or something away from everybody and just start praising the Lord. Just praise him and just say, Lord, let me get lost in your praises, and just keep
in
praising him, and just praising him,
and then praising him.
And then don't be surprised if all of a sudden something comes out that is foreign to you. and if that happens, fine. If it doesn't, just keep praising him anyway. Praise him anyway.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Sometimes in praying,
I do now, because it happened a long time ago.
Yeah.
And so
sometimes God, you'll be praying and don't know what to pray or how to pray, and the Spirit of God begins to just pray in the Spirit. Yes.
You know, when my grandfather died, My one aunt, she's really a holiness, Pentecostal, old time holiness type thing. And when we came out of the church, she started speaking in tongues, real loud. And when we got in the car, I happened to get in the car with her. I said, I'm going to tell you what I feel like the Lord had you say. Surely my son is in my care now.
God gave
the interpretation.
Yes.
But see, you should instantly start praying for the interpretation.
Yes.
That's right.
When you hear people speaking in tongues.
They should be praying.
And grant, because she always felt like Grandpa, Grandpa wasn't Pentecostal or anything, but he was a Christian. He gave his life to the Lord.
Yeah.
And when she started speaking in tongues, I felt like that exactly what the Lord told me that he was saying.
Mm-hmm.
For surely my son is in my care now.
What did she say?
And she didn't say anything. She didn't know what to say. Because I'm going to tell you what, if you went into her church, they would just go off in tongues and stuff and nobody would ever interpret. They didn't prophesy hardly or anything like that. I mean, it was the kind of church she went to. Someone would be liable to be sitting there and they get up and run around the church or something, do all this wild stuff and jump over stuff and do all kind of weird stuff. To me it was strange.
Well, that was holiness back then.
That was their holiness stuff, But that's okay, I don't down them for that,
But the scripture says that they will know we are Christians, not by our tongues,
right. But
by our love.
Right.
That's what it says and that's what it means.
Right.
Right. So, and there is another thing that, that though if we're led by the Spirit, we are the children of God. Mm-hmm. And I want to tell you something. To me, since you've come here, you bear more fruit than you ever did before.
Right.
They will know us by our fruit. Our fruit just don't appear on something that's not alive. God gives the increase, and he's the one that's increased your life.
He's tender.
I mean, you hunger and thirsty even come here.
Yeah.
And a lot of us are sitting here going, that, we probably never told you that. So do we.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we're here.
Yeah.
That's no lie. I mean, so do we. I mean, but the whole thing is, I believe that when you go into the presence, it says, into thy presence we come, not by the works we have done, but by thy grace alone, into thy presence we come. And it says, heaven came down and glory filled my soul. This is what I'm sitting here thinking the whole time while you guys are talking. What is the glory? What is the glory? He's the glory.
Mm-hmm.
He's the glory filled my soul. Woo, man.
I can make holiness look like it's nothing. But I mean, that's the truth. If you think about it, you'll start to cry, you'll start to laugh, you'll have all kinds of emotions.
Right.
You'll start to, that's been a long time since I've jumped. But I mean, you'll start to run. When he said running, I thought, who did I think of? I think of
Millie
Dickerson. This is not a lie, I gotta tell you this. Our walls were this close to our seats in Elmwood on the side. Mm-hmm. And we had drapes on those walls that came off about that far. Yeah. So that actually it came down, if you didn't turn, not you, but if you didn't turn sideways, you'd hit those drapes. Well, one night Millie got tickled by the Holy Spirit. She started laughing and she started running around the sanctuary. And I'm
not
kidding.
She was not that wide.
Hey, and she was not she's
that
this
kind of a person either. No, I mean in the natural.
Right.
She was
very, it was
very quiet.
In the natural, she didn't have the ability to do what she did. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She was running the aisles and the Lord said, look down that aisle. Not a drape was moving and she wasn't hitting a chair.
Yeah.
He goes like this, I just want you to see that I'm in this. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of people said, well, that wasn't of the Lord. I mean, you know, they sit back and they're like, and I'm going like, if I ever seen anything of the Lord, I seen that.
Well, I mean, just the joy of the Lord. And, just
I
mean, laugh.
And I ain't talking about she was jogging easy. She was like sprinting. And I'm going like, yeah, now I've seen God in Millie. Mm-hmm. But you know what? Millie already had God in her. Mm-hmm. She had a lot of fruit. I mean, come on. She was married to Red. She had a lot of fruit. And Red was the type of guy, when Brother Eddie would go 5 minutes over, he'd go, bring it on home, Brother Ed. Bring it on home.
Yeah.
We should have took him out and just set him down somewhere. But anyway, and Brother Eddie went, because Red was a barber.
Yes.
Brother Eddie went and let him cut his hair. Of course, when a man's got scissors and got clippers, you don't want to tell him to bring it on home. He looked like me. And Brother Eddie had nice hair. Anyway.
He had a very famous kind of a barber shop right down on 2nd Street.
Right across from the
ballpark.
I know where I was.
Ed's Barber Shop.
Barber Shop. Yeah, they even used to have him on the news once in a while.
Yeah.
His barber shop.
Well, anyway, get back to Millie. I loved it. I loved it. Didn't you get the opportunity to take her home?
Took her home a lot.
Yeah, I mean, just love it. What a joy.
She was
just
a sweet joy. Lady. Just so quiet.
And I tell you what, they had four sons. They have four sons. And one time she said something to me about her sons, and I said, Millie, the scripture says, because she wanted to know when they would come to the Lord. I said, the scripture says that raise your child in the way it should go. Yeah. Now listen to this. This is very important. And when they're old, they will not depart. Her kids were young. I said, well, give them a chance to be old. A lot of times you like to see people instantly get in, especially if it's your family. It's instant.
We went to school with one of her sons, Chuck.
Chuck
was in some of Margaret's classes. Chuck was red. Incarnated.
Oh boy, I'm surprised he didn't just get like whipped a lot.
Well, he did. He got in trouble all
about
the time.
Beat up.
He was always speaking out in class. He did. It was just like Red. But you know, it was kind of funny. But you know, you could ask Margaret because he was in a lot of her classes. I mean, he was. I don't know if he was in any of my classes. He might have been one of my classes over the years. But he was in a lot of her classes. But he was always getting in trouble. he was constantly in trouble for speaking out and saying stuff and doing stuff. But he was the only kid back then. Now, you know, boys didn't take home economics back then. Mm-hmm. I mean, that wasn't something boys did. He took home economics.
Oh, yeah.
You know? But he ended up being a chef.
Chef, yeah. Later. That's yeah, right. He ended up being a chef.
He did, yeah. But
which is good.
But
when I met
Red and then I knew his name was Dickerson, and me and Mark both looked at each other. That's where Chuck got it from. Mm-hmm. He was just like his dad.
Oh yeah,
just like it was funny. But yeah, Millie was a sweet lady, and you've come a long way, sis. I mean, mm-hmm. My goodness, God has softened you up so much. You just. Why do you think everybody calls you Sunshine when they come in here? They just love you, and they see the Lord in you.
No, Sunshine.
Yeah. They see the Lord in you, and yes, you don't worry about all that other stuff. Just praise the Lord, you're fine.
Well, I always wanted where the Promised Land was, because they all traveled all up to go to the Promised Land.
Well, for them, the Promised Land was Israel when they crossed over the Jordan. That was the Promised Land for them back then. That was all in a type and a shadow of the true Promised Land, see? And the true Promised Land is us coming into that full relationship with Jesus Christ. Yes. We're so filled with His presence, and that it's peace, joy, all those things continuously, you know. Peace,
you know, when people really love the Lord, it doesn't matter what church
right.
they go to, because this group of women that we meet together once a month, but we have a site where we share with one another prayer requests and all that, and it's so precious. And we met like a B&B goes to Nazarene, the things that God has even shown her, and then they're all of our we're from different churches, but we love the Lord.
Yes.
There's Christ. So this is what we not, and some of them have different traditions than that, but they love the Lord, and so that's why we have precious fellowship
right.
and prayer together, and God has answered, you know, so many prayers, and so it's the Christ in us. That's all
and
of us here. It's the Christ in us.
I would encourage you to make your requests known to the Lord. Not to everybody else, you know. You don't want to be saying a negative answer. Don't say, well, God won't let me speak in tongues. Stop saying that out to other people. And go to God and say, you know, God, I love you so much. It is my desire to speak in tongues. If it be your will. And then don't think about it so much anymore.
Right.
Just thank you.
That's good advice, Sarah. Yeah.
Then being on the negative end of, look at me now, I'm in my 80s, and God still is not. Well, and just like you said to me this morning, I'm not getting better. What have I done wrong? There is no Evan did something wrong. God loves you so much, Evan.
Yeah.
So much. And so do
process.
We.
That's right.
Wow.
Yeah. Yes, thank you.
I didn't know how much. Mm-hmm. You still do. He loves you more than that. When I woke up.
Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord.
The thing too, Eddie, you gotta realize you went through a major, major operation. You don't recover from that in 2 weeks, 3 weeks. I mean, it's gonna take you a while to get your strength back, and you need to do the exercises and the stuff they tell you to do.
Yeah, yeah.
And eventually you'll get a lot better. You'll get, you know, but you, my brother had that, Clyde had that. I mean, I'm sure Clyde didn't jump back out and do everything he could do before, because you can't. They split you wide open, and you gotta heal up, and you gotta get your strength
right
out
there.
Back. You know.
Yeah.
So don't look at everything negatively. Thank God that He brought you through this thing,
yes.
that you're getting stronger every day, and every day say to the Lord, your strength is made perfect in weakness,
yes.
and just claim His strength in your life,
and
you'll get stronger. You watch and see. You'll get stronger, and you'll feel better when you do that, because you're relying on Him instead of yourself, you know.
I hope.
Oh.
Hope, because
you know what the word hope means in the Bible?
No.
To anticipate with pleasure. Are you anticipating with pleasure?
No.
You ain't hoping then. Let's hope. Let's anticipate with pleasure. Let's
the world
hope.
Says that means, well, maybe it will and maybe it won't, but I hope it does.
Now,
that's
I had in June. It's already, what is
it? It's October 2nd.
October.
October.
That's a few months.
Yeah.
and I know better.
Yeah, you are.
My
yes,
brother
you are.
Is about your
yeah, you
age,
are.
And
yes,
he
you
had
are.
The same.
You're a whole lot better.
And
yes,
my
brother
a whole lot better.
Is about your age, and he had the same operation a couple of months before you, and he's still, I mean, he just started physical therapy because he wouldn't do it either. He started.
You got to do the physical therapy and
yes,
stuff. You do. You need to do it.
Yeah.
You know,
you're
putting it off and
putting way
it
better
off.
Than you think you are.
You know,
he just thought he was going to sit in his chair until he died. And then pretty soon one day he says, well, I guess I'm not going to die.
Yeah.
And he got up and started going.
When I had my knee replaced, you know, I'm going to tell you, I can bend this knee as far as I can the other one.
Mm-hmm.
But if I didn't do the exercises,
right.
I wouldn't be able to
no.
do that. And you know, and Jim told me one time, he says, well, my knee hurts about as much as it did before. I said, well, Jim, did you do all the exercises?
He didn't.
He didn't.
No, I don't.
That's why it hurts, because you
yeah.
didn't do the exercises. And you gotta do the things that you need to do, girl.
She hates to hear that, don't she?
I know you don't want to hear that, but you gotta listen. That's the truth.
She loves you. Will tell me the truth.
Better.
Yeah.
Everybody tells me that.
Mm-hmm. Well, are you gonna listen? Are you gonna do it?
She is now.
Get determined now that you're going to do it.
We're going to ask you when we come back.
You're
going to
exercise a little bit. You're going to do what they
I
tell
told her
you
she's
to going to
be dancing by the end of the year. That's my word.
Walk. Just walk. I. That's what I do. I walk.
Well, that's good.
That's good.
Well, good. Keep walking.
That's how you get your stamina
that's
back
that's how
up.
You get yourself go back up. Mm-hmm. You got to build up your lungs and everything. You know, that's what happens to a lot of people.
You
want me to
bring my
weight
set down?
They lay around and they get pneumonia because they don't work. They don't
yes.
get up and move around.
I had to learn everything all over again.
Well,
I had learned it. I had to learn to talk.
Mm-hmm.
All over again.
Yeah.
Well,
thank God.
Thank God that you're talking.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're sitting here talking to us.
Yeah.
We better get going to church.
Yeah.
All right.
It's going to get better, girlie. Just keep believing that. Keep trusting the Lord. It's going to get better.
You and Debbie are going to be jitterbugging together.
Yeah.
You and Debbie are going to be jitterbugging together.
Yeah.
I don't think she's doing her exercises.
Here, push your chair back a little.